Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. I don't know about myself. The guys might be a little bleary-eyed because they were out late in Glendale last night. What was a terrific first half of a basketball game. I thought the second half, and I don't think I'm breaking any news here, was just hard to watch at times. North Carolina and Gonzaga, the Zags ended up getting into foul trouble. The two sides committed 27 fouls in the second half, or the referees decided to call 27 fouls in the second half. And I thought the first half was entertaining. I thought it was great. But man, when you have 22 fouls in the first 12 minutes, that's just unbelievable to me. And so, you know, that's one of the storylines of last night. I think the bigger story is it's the redemption angle for North Carolina. They come away with the championship. The Zags put up a terrific fight. There's nothing that they should be holding their heads about. Roy Williams is the three-time, gets his third title. Should he be in the same sentence as Dean Smith? That is being kicked around. And from our point of view, it's did Arizona do enough to bring another Final Four back here? Whenever we get these mega events, it's not like they just roll in here with ease. There's things that you have to do. And the competition now to get these mega events is it's something that it's just not that easy. So Jerry Colangelo is scheduled to be with us later on in the show, and we'll talk with Jerry, a Valley icon, managing director of USA Basketball, and someone who behind the scenes worked diligently to make sure that this Final Four came here, and working with the NCAA in that. So that'll be fun to talk to Jerry, and I want to have some space today because there's some things going on outside of what happened last night with the Final Four and the championship game. I've got some different views, different spins on this. If you're a U of A fan, if you're a Duke fan, if you're a Kentucky fan, I think you really have to look at your idea of going one and dones. You know, I just think that what we saw last night is the way that it should be. Have some kids that want to be together, stay together, and be there a long, long time. We talked about it yesterday. I'm going to go a little bit further in depth on that today now, having seen the championship. Diamondbacks have their second game of the season tonight. The Suns are almost done. The Coyotes play Dallas tonight. They're almost done. And hazing at Hamilton High School on a very local grassroots level. I am going to get into the story. I wrote about it a little bit this morning. I'm getting pounded on social media, and it's fine. It's fine. Kids want to run down the street and go play for Chandler High. And I'm hearing that there's parents that are using Penn State as the example, that they would go pursue a hardship. From the AIA, Dick Banaszewski, who's been in the Valley a long time, is overseeing the program from reports. As Steve Bellis has been reassigned. So a lot of backdoor information, but I think that the whole idea of hazing being acceptable, it's not. To think that it's pervasive across all platforms at Hamilton, it's not. From everything that I've read, people that I've spoke to, the district has been very quiet on this. They're trying to handle it through public information officers. So there's football parents that have no idea what direction they're going to go. Thus, when coaches at other schools or people at other schools or kids recruit kids at other schools. And to think that that's not happening right now, you are being really naive, really, really, really naive. In particular, when you have a star running back who could go over to Chandler High and play immediately, Mr. Jordan. And you have a quarterback who's getting recruited by all sorts of places. I don't know. To me, it's stick it out, but that's one parent's opinion. I've had some people say, well, your kid's not there. Yeah, you know what? I've actually had a discussion with my wife on this one, that if our kids were there based on everything we know, they'd stick it out. They wouldn't just run away. So trying to win a title in your senior year rather than stay at the school you've been at from start to finish or try to finish. That's just me. If you're the Zags in that program, you got to lose before you win. You have to be there, and now they've been there, first time that they've been there. And what we've seen out of programs that get to the Final Four or that get to somewhere in a championship, they've got to lose along the way, and then they're able to break the door down. I've seen it over and over again in sports. I feel like when I look at the roster of Gonzaga and I see the depth that they had and the size that they had, I'm going to get into that a little bit later in the show, that this is something where Mark Few can do it year in and year out. And we bring it back to Grand Canyon. But I think, too, you've got to look at if you're Arizona and this is where you want to be, not getting eliminated in the Sweet 16, then you have to look at both rosters and say, you know, there may be a one and done in Collins over on the Zag side, but he wasn't a starter, even though he's so good. Oh, my gosh. His footwork. It was a shame that he got in foul trouble. It was a shame Karnowski got in foul trouble. It was a shame that all the bigs on both sides got into foul trouble and there were missed calls. And afterwards, both coaches did not want to blame the officials. They're not going to do that. You want to hear them do that, but it's just coach speak. They're not going to lay guys out saying, what a train wreck that was. It was start and stop. It was chunky. It was choppy. It was the 101 at 7 a.m. on a Tuesday morning with a 10-car pileup, meaning you're going to go 5 miles an hour and then you're going to go 2 miles an hour. It wasn't fun to watch. Jim Nance wasn't happy. You could tell with that. Bill Raftery wasn't happy. You could tell with that. The announcers weren't happy. 27 fouls in the second half, 44 fouls in a 40-minute game. So they averaged a foul a minute. And the Zags shoot 28% in the second half. If I were to tell you guys the numbers on this, like today when you're at your water cooler or you're sitting there in break or you're at the gym and you're playing your game today, if I told you, hey, the team that's going to win the championship will go 4 of 27 in three-pointers, that's 14%. That's the winning team last night. The team that shot 15 of 26 from the free throw line, that's 57%. They're going to win. The Tar Heels only made 26 of 73 shots last night. All you throw those numbers together, that's just not good in any way, shape, or form. It's not good. Yet they are able to get the victory, and people will say it was a great Final Four, and it was to a point. There was just the clunkiness of the second half of last night's championship game. Was it the emotion? Just they ran out of gas? I'm sure you could use that, but North Carolina scored the final 8 points into the last minute. And Kennedy Meeks was there to block the shot. So clunkiness aside, I mean, they were a team that found a way to get the redemption angle. That's obvious. Roy Williams able to get his third title. And he did the right thing by apologizing to Coach Few after the game was over, because Roy Williams was there just a year ago. It's tough stuff. Take a break. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Tony Romo retiring for broadcast, not a surprise. ESPN did make another move today that is somewhat eyebrow-raising. The hazing story at Hamilton has taken another twist and turn, and it is Masters Week. So I have a lot to get to on today's show. Stay with us. Hey, a reminder tonight, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 14 airings during the week, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, Pro College, High School College Pro. That is something separate we do here at Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, our show each day on AZ Central, as well as Sports360AZ.com and our website full of content, Sports360AZ.com. Jerry Colangelo joins us now, Valley Icon, Managing Director of USA Basketball. Okay, so when you played, did you ever go up against a guy like Karnowski, where he blocked out the sun, he tilted the court to one side or the other because he was so big? Do you ever have somebody like that, Jerry,
no,
you're trying to guard?
I don't. Well, bear in mind that I practiced every day against Will Chamberlain.
That's right. That's right.
When I was at Kansas, but the young man from Gonzaga is huge. I mean, he takes up a lot of space. And you know, I really felt for him because he just couldn't finish, you know, last night in particular at, you know, point dead range. He should have had six or seven baskets, you know, around the hoop. That would have been a big difference maker, obviously. But he's a space eater. That's one of the things he does. Good. He has a nice touch. He has good hands.
Yep.
And so, you know, there really is a shot for him to play because everyone's always looking for bigs.
Well, high pick and roll. I mean, come on. That, to try to go under that, forget it. You're not going to be able to go under that. And he is a good passer. Out of the post, too, he was able to find. I tell you, Zach Collins, if I'm building a program with a freshman, oh, my goodness, that kid could play a little bit.
Well, let me shake you up a little bit. He was the third best guy on his high school team.
Wow.
What does that say about his high school team? And that's Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And I can't remember one of the two, but one of the two I do remember is Zimmerman, who is considered a terrific prospect.
Yeah. What, Jerry Colangelo with us, are we going to get another one of these? Did we do well enough in the community? In the hospitality side, I heard the complaints from some about having to go from downtown at the coaches' convention out to the game. But that was about it in terms of the check mark against. What do you think about getting another one of these, Jerry?
Well, I think we're, first of all, I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, you know, mostly very, very positive things. And the fact that we have such a track record of hosting major events, not just now it's a Final Four, but, you know, Super Bowls, All-Star Games, et cetera, that really, you know, speaks well for our marketplace and our ability to host and do a good job. As far as distances are concerned, I don't buy that, because if you were in Houston or Dallas, you know, it's it was a lot further between, you know, the hotels and the center of action, if you will, in the stadium. So that's not something I would worry about. I think San Antonio next year doesn't have anywhere near the facility, mm-hmm. you know, to host, but they have a very unique situation. You walk everywhere. You walk to the stadium. Everything is the Riverwalk and hotels and restaurants, and it's a great place to host. But, you know, they're in the rotation. What we're seeking is for our market to be in the rotation. And, Brad, I'm not sure, but I think the next opportunity is in 2021. Does that sound right?
That sounds right to me, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm looking at this big picture with Los Angeles getting an NFL team in a new facility and Las Vegas building a facility up there. Arizona's had this great stretch of getting the mega sporting events. And you and I have talked for well over 20 years about downtown being the place to be, and then the west side builds the stadium. Are we going into a different era from your view now, Jerry, of trying to keep these events with Phoenix in the rotation? Are our facilities up to date enough in the next 10 to 15 years? Because I think there's now some competition out west with Vegas and LA, or am I just flat wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You're probably right on, but bear in mind that a football stadium in Los Angeles is going to be open air. It's not going to be covered. You're not going to play basketball in that facility. But I would tell you a good example is for the Olympics. You know LA is vying for 2024.
Correct.
And one of the great selling points they have is that they have most of all of the infrastructure in place, and arenas and stadiums, although they were part of the plan was to build one, just one. And so, you know, look, as the life expectancy of a facility at one time used to be 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That changed. You know, it's more like 25 years. And when you get into the close to a 25-year time span, you're ready for the new technology and the latest of the late. So you have to keep up with the Joneses to some degree with facilities in order to compete for events, and it will become more and more competitive as we go forward.
Yeah, how do you think the building played for a basketball court for the mega event? I saw you Saturday night. You looked pleased as punch. I'm just curious if you mm-hmm. looked around and said, you know, this does work.
No, it definitely worked. One of the issues, I don't know if you were even aware of it, but they didn't show video replays. And the reason is where the video screens were in the building and are, they were directly through the glass backboard, and therefore when someone was at the line, they would have been distracted in a big way. And so there was a decision made not to have the video replays shown. That's just a minor thing. No one even noticed it, I'm sure. Did you?
No. Heck no, no. But again, I had a TV monitor in front of me, but that makes perfect sense because there was this whole narrative of depth perception in big arenas. I hear that, though, every time somebody plays basketball in a big arena. To me, basketball is basketball.
It is. It is. But there is a definite adjustment in terms of, you know, usually there are very poor shooting percentages in a lot of these games because of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for it. You know, it's almost like shooting a shot in a fishbowl to some degree. When you're playing in a true arena, not a stadium, with the intimacy and the fans right there on top of you, and the bowl is much, much smaller. I mean, think about it. 18,000 seats versus 77,000 seats.
Right.
You know, the bowl is going to be so large. But look, that's what the NCAA wants to do, and that is to play in these large stadiums. Look at what they do, you know, in terms of draw and numbers and dollars. And also bear in mind, for the NCAA, the big moneymaker by far and away is the Final Four. And so there's a lot riding on success, and they need the capacity, and they need a lot of things going for them to pay the bills.
Yeah, I mean, the Zags last night, well, let's go over to North Carolina, 4 of 27 from three-point country, 14%. That could be big building, big fishbowl, or it could be the Zags played really good perimeter defense.
Well, they did.
Yeah, and they did.
I'd say it's a combination of both.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with you on that. Jerry Colangelo with us. Did the referee second half number of fouls distract from the game, in your opinion?
Well, I did hear complaints about the officiating. You know, it's really such a tough job. You know, I'm not personally going to take shots at them, but it was a long game. There were a lot of fouls. There were a lot of free throws. And so you and I know each other well enough for you to understand, you know what I believe in, and that is basketball is poetry in motion, mm-hmm. and it should be a fluid game. And when you have stops and go, you know, be it looking at replays on a screen or fouls and free throws, you can't get any rhythm in a game. That's one of the beauties of the game when you have that kind of flow.
Yeah, 44 fouls in 40 minutes last night, 27 fouls in the second half alone. I thought the first half was pretty good. I mean, really good basketball. Second half was clunky. It was like the 101 at 5 in the afternoon. Stop and go, stop mm-hmm. and go. Mm-hmm. Wasn't pretty. The Zags and Grand Canyon University. So our staff's done quite a few stories on that. We talked to Mark Few about it. We talked to Dan Marley yesterday about it. The comparison of the two universities. Now that GCU is coming off of the probationary period, do you still see that GCU is a Gonzaga model?
Well, do I see it? I see the following. We have a goal, we have an objective at GCU to become a top 25 school, you know, in NCAA basketball. And so who do you look to? You look to the mid-majors who have, you know, made a big mark. And the closest to us is Gonzaga. You know, St. Mary's has made a good mark in mm-hmm. terms of NCAA basketball. And then we can kind of move, you know, east, be it Creighton or Wichita State or Butler yeah. or Xavier and Dayton and so forth. That's what we want to be. We want to be one of those schools that when people talk about mid-majors and perennial contenders, etc. That's our goal. That's our ambition. But we're just starting. You know, everyone else has a big head start on us. But, you know, we're very, very motivated to do this as soon as we can. Look, my age is such that I don't have a lot of time to make this thing happen.
Are you going to get the Zags to come here to GCU, or do you have to go to Spokane to play them?
Well, we don't know. You know, one of the, you know, this thing that still exists, which I think is such disappointment to me is that there are powers that be who still rather not have their schools and their conferences schedule us. Just because of our status as a for-profit. And although we've been trying to change that status, you know, there are those who have had enough power to keep schools from scheduling us. I know that Mark Few would love to play Grand Canyon. He's that kind of guy. He's a friend. I have great respect for him. But that has, he hasn't been allowed to do it.
Yeah, I had Dan on yesterday, and he mentioned St. John's is going to come here, but that'll be at Talking Stick. Sean Miller has said, we'll play you every year. We just will not come to your building, but, you know, we'll meet neutral site. So,
well, here's the problem, Brad, when you think about it. Most of the big schools have more to lose than gain.
That's true. That's true.
By playing us, and they don't want to play in our building because they know it's such a home court advantage.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll get over that hump eventually, too.
Stay well. Appreciate your time, as always, Jerry. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Take care.
You too. It's Jerry Colangelo with us. Really good stuff. I could have done another. Eric, would you have yelled at me if I went another 5-10 minutes on that one?
No.
Yeah.
I was really hoping that we'd have some breaking news, and Jerry's like, oh, you mentioned Gonzaga and Grand Canyon. By the way, we scheduled a home-and-home with them starting in 20... But no.
No, yeah. That's not...
Wishful thinking on my part.
It happens.
But it's happened on this show before, where coaches come on and say things they're probably not supposed to say, and then within the hour, we get a nice email saying, oh, by the way, this has been scheduled since it's out there already.
Yeah. Well, we know they're playing St. John's next year. We know that ASU is playing Xavier. I mean, putting a bow on the college basketball, because, look, we had the epicenter of college basketball here the last 4 days. It was really cool.
Uh-huh.
For you and I to sit and go through this event, because you and I together have gone through Super Bowls. We've gone through the Diamondbacks winning the World Series together.
Yep.
We've seen the Suns get so close. So the two of us have gone through a lot of these events and have seen them. I told you coming in a couple of years ago that if we get a Final Four here, and people send me notes about, you say we, all you're supposed to be objective. I live here, okay? I live here. Getting a Final Four to me is the best of the mega events. Now that you've been through it, you don't have to agree with me. Do you think it's...
I totally agree with you. I think of all the big events, it was my favorite to cover. The access was great. I got to meet people like Clark Kellogg last night, who I've talked to on the phone and via text
for years. Yeah.
And to be able to walk up to him and say, hey, I'm Eric Sorensen. Thanks for always coming on. And him being as gracious in person as he is. And what I want to circle back on real quick, Brad, was last night, I put this on Twitter last night. Last night's game reminded me a lot of Oregon-Auburn national championship game. It was a close game,
But
when you watch it back, it was far from a classic. It was really sloppy. There was no fluidity, as Jerry Colangelo mentioned to you in the interview. And I think people have a hard time deciphering. Oh, some people this morning woke up and were saying, wow, that was a real, really close, good basketball game. And to me, it was close, but just because it's close doesn't make it great.
No, I mean, the clunkiness of it, and yeah, look, as Jerry said, he and I know each other well enough. He's not going to come on here and say, man, those guys blew last night. But those guys blew last night. I don't care what they're, you know, I get these defenders of officials. Well, they've done this many events, and they've done, so what? They had no flow last night. When you take three guys from three separate conferences and say, we're going to put an all-star crew together, there's going to be some misses. And I felt like last night, and I appreciated the Zag players not going down the path of, man, those guys cost us the game. Because in reality, I don't know if they did. They took away from the fluidity, going back to that word. But look, Karnowski had how many shots within 3 feet, 2 feet that he usually makes? A ton of them last night. Goss, how many missed layups or floaters that he had made during the tournament that he missed last night? A bunch.
I think Karnowski was 1 of 8 or 9 from the field, and Goss was 5 of 17.
And they got away from Karnowski because he was in foul trouble, and they just ended up using him to shield the Sun up top.
And if you're Roy Williams, Brad, you have to feel like you got away with highway robbery. I mean, the numbers 26 of 73 on twos, 35%. Yeah. 4 of 27 on threes, 14%. 15 of 26 on free throws, 57%. And you walk out of there cutting down the nets. That's living right.
No, that is living right. It's living right. So redemption for them. On the other side, we're going to shift gears because I'm a community guy, and there's a story in our community that resonates. All of us that follow sports at some period of point in time in our lives, we're in high school, and we did high school sports. Many of us did, boys and girls. We have a football program here that is considered one of the top football programs in the state that has had a hazing investigation that has produced some really bad stuff. But now it's the players, what's going to happen to the coach, and all of that that I want to get into on the other side, because it's been moving fast, including this morning. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So around the Masters, John Rahm met with the media yesterday down there, the former Sun Devil. Might try to find Tim Mickelson tomorrow. That's John's coach, and just how I think for storylines, Jordan Spieth is going to be the big storyline this week because of what happened last year, where he dropped his driver and put both hands squarely around his neck for five holes. It was not pretty last year, so I think that's going to be one of them. No Tiger. Phil finished 55th last week at Shell. John Rahm is coming in at 22 years of age as a former Sun Devil, has played well this year. Ricky Fowler is going to be one of those players you look at and say, is this going to be Ricky Fowler's chance? So there's some angles that I'm looking at and looking forward to with Augusta this week. Now let's go over to some local stuff here. And this is really hyper-local. I touched on it briefly in the beginning of the show, and that is the hazing story at Hamilton High School. Yesterday afternoon, the day of the national championship game, it comes out that Steve Bellis is being reassigned, and that he is he could return as coach, and he could return as a teacher at Hamilton High School. I know Steve well. I respect Steve. I've already written. I cannot believe for the life of me that he would tolerate, accept this type of behavior that happened in his locker room with hazing. Can't believe that he would just sit there and have knowledge of it. That's not been proven to be the case, but the district has reassigned him for now. They could bring him back. From my point of view, I think that's highly unlikely. I hope that I am wrong, but it feels and seems to me that what's going on over at Hamilton is this is a major, major program. This is Saguaro. This is Brophy. This is Chandler. This is Mountain Point. This is the big school that is in the middle of just an awful story, okay? But at some point, and the awful story has been out there for 5 days now, at some point, the story shifts to what is going to happen on campus to the head coach, and that's where I'm taking this now. I'm not disrespecting or not acknowledging what has happened to the kids and the hazing. I'm not doing that, but when we started doing Sports360AZ.com, I told Eric, when I said, come over here and let's do this, we're going to do some high school stuff. And Eric kind of tilted his head. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn on this with you. Eric tilted his head like high school. You know, we should just be doing pro stuff. And the more that we've done the high school, the more that Eric has embraced it and has taken on a huge role with it. And he's really, really good at it here in the last 3 to 4 years. Whenever we bring somebody on board here, we talk about how we are not going to sit here and talk about the NFL and backup left tackles in April. That's not happening. Okay. It's just not. You can go 100 different places for that. Not here. And so when community comes up and it's a story of this magnitude at this program, I had some people that said, well, you didn't do it when it was this program over here. Sorry to say that when it is smaller schools doesn't mean it needs to be addressed, but when it is the masses, and I am looking for mass appeal of topics to talk about, and it is something that happens, I am going to bring it up. Those of you that want to sit here and monitor me for every time that I don't acknowledge something that happens at a tiny little school, and the times we do stories on them, it's fine. Okay. So Hamilton's coach is in limbo right now. This morning, the district reportedly, I don't know this to be fact as of yet. It is on social media. Is it Les over at AIA that put this out, Eric? And Les would know. Les has been around for
a
long, long time, and it's, you know, through AIA's Twitter handle, so they're not going to screw it up. He's hearing that the Dick Banaszewski, who's been involved at Hamilton for a number of years, I've known Bano all the way back with my kids, that he is there now in an not as the coach, right?
He will serve as the interim coach.
He will serve as the interim coach
during this period of
uncertainty.
Flux, yeah. Flux. Okay, lack of a better term.
So he and Steve are very close, and the principal at Hamilton, Ken James, is somebody that I've known. I actually sat in on the board that hired Ken James when he was at Basha High School, and he had my kids at Basha High School. Ken is an honorable man too. I know Dr. Castile very, very well. I was in her office 3 weeks ago. I know Marcus Williams, our athletic director. He taught my son how to punt, and he was at Arizona State back in the day. So I know these players. I haven't talked to them because they're in a legal situation, so they're not going to text me, and they're not going to call back. And guys, if you're watching, I get it, okay? But I am going to do what I have to do. So then it takes me over to the parents. There are players on Hamilton's team. And again, I'm not going to just make this into whenever Johnny transfers down the street. This is a six-time state title program. This is a legacy program in the state. So when there is a scandal around this type of program, and considering out in Chandler, it is the wild, wild west. There's no other way to put it. There are kids that go to three and four different high schools during their 4 years because, well, there's lots of reasons. Sometimes it's the kid, it doesn't work out at one school and he moves on. Sometimes it's crazy dad who's chasing the college football scholarship. Sometimes it's crazy mom who's chasing the college football scholarship. Sometimes it's the kid who's just a big kid who has two left feet, who doesn't like football, but mom, dad, whoever thinks that they get him the right coach, that he's going to get a college scholarship and he's going to go on to the NFL.
And let's also, Brad, not fail to mention that for the people that aren't as familiar with high school football as you and I are, the Chandler School District is the epicenter for high school football. I wouldn't be stepping out of bounds by saying something like that. So
No, you wouldn't.
I mean, there is more football talent in that district than probably any other district in the city and probably definitely in the state.
Well,
collection of schools.
Sure. No, you'd have people that are up in Scottsdale that would say, we're Saguaro, we're Chaparral, we're Pinnacle. I mean, I get it.
But as a district as a whole.
As a district. No, that's right. You're throwing the top quarterback in the state last year was at Basha.
Right.
You know, you've had Chandler that sent off, I mean, how many dozens of guys?
Perry's a rising program.
Yeah, Perry's doing.
You know, Chandler is Chandler.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So no, that's good. That's good context. So the problem that I'm having with this story has been, and I get it that legally the district, and this is just my view on what's happened so far, in the last 5 to 6 days, I have yet to hear from a parent who said that the coach has addressed the situation with the players. Okay, so legally they're shutting Steve down and they're shutting the program off in terms of being able to talk about this. What that means is the kids don't have a sense of certainty. And the kids are on their phones with kids at Chandler High School and Perry. My understanding is some freshmen have already left Hamilton for other schools. His parents just said, we're out of here. And they were talented kids that have left. So kids are recruiting kids. Now you start having the parents that are not getting any answers. And that leads to parents who start to think that this is, I had somebody that texted me saying this is going to be another Penn State. Okay. Just breathe. Okay. Just relax. Just relax. I had a couple others that said, the football program is completely falling apart. My kids didn't go to Hamilton, so I have a dog in the fight. I would say that to any of you that you have adversity in high school at football programs, having been a high school dad, there's going to be drama. There just is. There's going to be the kid that transfers in and plays in front of your kid. There's going to be the position coach that doesn't like your kid and he doesn't play. There's going to be the head coach that makes a boneheaded decision and it doesn't work out. There's going to be the booster club that does something that they shouldn't do with the money. Or there's going to be the over-the-top booster club parent who's just nuts, who's just crazy. And you're going to be grilling hot dogs at the JV game and the freshman game. And you're going to have some band parent who comes up and says, the band doesn't get enough attention and we want the snack bar and we want the money from the snack bar. And it shouldn't be the football team that has a snack bar pro. And it's going to go on and on and on and on and on. It's not going to stop. Some of you are probably laughing. Some of you are shaking your head saying, Brad, you're an idiot and you're really cynical about the whole deal. No, I'm a realist. Having had three go through high school and a fourth one on the way, I've seen it through the years. They're going to come sell cookie dough at your doorstep. It's happening. They're going to go sell car wash tickets like their Girl Scout cookies. They're going to go do fundraisers on a Saturday morning where you got to buy the card that has the oil change on it. If you don't sell six of those, you're in trouble. All that stuff's going to happen to you. So when the football program has, in my opinion from what I've read and what I've heard in the police report, a rogue student or two, or player or two, and people want to turn that into the whole program is awful and it's sour and it's this and it's that and you should get your kid out of there. And then you have a program 3 miles down the street at Chandler High School that has a very aggressive coaching staff. It's just a fact. That's why they win. It's why kids do transfer there. They are aggressive. I'm not saying that they sit here and call kids up, but it's known who those coaches are. It's out there. It's out there at Perry. It's out there at Basha. It's out there at Castile. That whole Wild West area out there. Really well-intentioned people. Really nice people. But here you have the king of the football program out there. And it is the king of the football program. They kicked Chandler from one side of the street to the other forever and ever. And then it finally turned. And so now to bring the program down to its knees and try to convince kids who are seniors to walk down the street because somebody's going to throw Penn State around? All sounds good. To take a guy like Steve Bellis, who's busted his butt for years and years, and to throw him to the wolves because somebody's got to pay for this? I would be stunned if Steve were still the head coach. I'm not saying that he should be removed. I'm just saying when you're reassigned, the idea, though, that Bano has been put in place over there, to me, says maybe there's an outside shot of bringing Steve back because that's from the same group. And Dick's a good man who can lead them through this. I'm talking football. I'm talking about, because at some point, all these other kids that had nothing to do with this incident, okay, the ones that did, they're already going through it. But there's dozens and dozens of other kids that had nothing to do with this. And so their parents are uncertain. I get that. What I don't get is let's just run away from the issue. And, you know, the school district, it's showing a lack of faith in the school district. It just is. So, I mean, it's crazy that I'm sitting here today doing 10 minutes on high schools looking at transferring kids right down the street. But these are this is a major program. And the program that most of these kids are talking about going to is Chandler. So, and then if you're Sean Aguano, what are you supposed to say? Because he's not recruiting these kids. But if mom or dad comes knocking on the door and saying, yeah, we want to come down here. Well, last time I checked, Sean has, I don't know, a dozen Division I players this coming year. So it looks all great. Are you just chasing a title rather than staying and trying to rebuild the situation and work through the adversity? Tony Romo's in the news, and we'll get into that, and a big shakeup over at ESPN as well. That's next, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. I could probably do a couple hours on this whole Hamilton thing. There's just so much around it, and during the break I get texts and nitwits that are out there that are watching us do our thing. And I mean, it's serious on one hand, but on the other hand, it's like, hey, you hit some adversity. Let's just run for cover. You know, let's just run down the street. That'll solve everything. No, that's, you know, sometimes in life you're in a company and things go bad and you got to work through it. Tony Romo's in the news today. So Peter King was with us last week and we had heard this. Peter had actually written this a couple weeks ago, and Albert Breer was the first one to report it this morning, that Tony Romo is not going to go play football anymore. Tony Romo is going to go to CBS, and he is going to replace Phil Sims. Phil Simms is the number one analyst. Now, it had been out there that with John Lynch leaving Fox, that Tony Romo was being pursued by Fox for the number two analyst slot. Troy Aikman, of course, is the number one analyst. But Tony Romo did not bite on that. And I think he's going to come out okay on this end. He's going to be really good. I think Tony Romo will be really good. He's got family. He's got another one that's on the way. He's made a gob of money. He can't stay healthy. Let's just call it as it is. He cannot stay healthy. And so rather than go through the idea of a season where he's just getting his brains beat in.
He was sort of, Brad, in the same situation that Kurt Warner was.
Yeah. That's good.
Back,
that's fair.
Back in the day.
That's
where,
fair.
Yes, technically he could probably still keep playing, but down the road, is another year really going to help the lifespan of your body? And Kurt made the right decision, and I definitely think that Romo also made the right decision.
Well, but you know there's going to be people that will say the minute that there is, if let's just say Dak Prescott goes down, you know that there's going to be that whole idea of let's bring Tony Romo out of retirement to save the day. I think, Eric, him going to CBS is really interesting because CBS carries the AFC package for the most part. That's one thing. So there's not going to be many Cowboy games, okay? Two, he's replacing a New Yorker in Phil Simms. So guess what? Tony Romo in the New York Post, New York Daily News, he's going to get crushed.
Now, was it Phil Simms' decision to step aside?
I can't believe that it would be.
Was he asked that he's not going to be in that role anymore?
What is on social here in the last
hour? I don't know. I didn't see anything. That's why I'm asking.
I have not seen anything in the last hour and a half on it, other than he's making the move. And to me, I think he'll be great. He's going to be with Jim Nantz. Phil Simms, the last few years, was getting pounded by people with his analysis. And I get it on social media. You know, everybody's got a phone. Everybody's an expert. Got it. Understood. Right? So, but Romo's walking into a situation where I can't imagine that the people that are in the tabloids in New York are going to give him any space at all because he's replacing one of their own in Phil Simms. And there's also guys that have sat around and watched football for 20 and 30 years, and they become comfortable with an analyst. When an analyst leaves, the guy that replaces them, they rip on him. It's no different than this business, you know? And in some cases, like, oh, I'm so glad he's out of here. Oh, it's just not the same seeing and hearing this person.
Pro Football Talk says, it is unclear whether Simms will be demoted to number two team on CBS or whether he could be out at CBS altogether.
Well, if you're Phil Simms,
so clearly
you need to
it
do
wasn't
it.
Clearly it wasn't his decision.
No, but it's like the changing landscape of media. So I'm going to do a little media rant here. ESPN is going to be letting go of between 30 and 50 on-air people. That's a lot. That's a big number. One of them did get let go. Sage Steele. Sage Steele has been doing NBA Countdown. And she's being replaced by Michelle Beadle.
She will find work very fast.
She'll find work very fast. Here's the thing on this. I have to believe that now that ESPN has let it out there that they've got a shed, as we said a couple of years ago, do not piss off the mouse. And the mouse is pissed. You know, ESPN is under the umbrella of Disney. And when stock prices drop, the mouse isn't going to be happy. And they don't care about SportsCenter. They don't care about people cutting their cable and not watching sports. They don't care that a show like SportsCenter was cool 20 years ago, and now people don't need highlight shows anymore. They just don't. They can get it on their phone whenever they want. When's the last time you sat and watched SportsCenter, Eric? I never watched it.
I watch it only late at night when I'm trying to catch up on what happened in the day of sports. I'll flip it on, but it's not appointment viewing for me.
I never watch it.
We have SportsCenter. It's called Twitter.
That's right. And there's people on SportsCenter that I look at and like, I don't think that person is plugged in, so I don't follow them on Twitter. I have like the people that I follow that I respect. You have people that you respect. We may see it differently. It's fine. I think Tony Romo, if he's candid, that's the whole thing about the analyst, okay? Is the analyst going to sit there and say, when the Cowboys are playing the Giants, well, that's a bad example because it's on CBS. When the Cowboys are playing the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger is having a good game and Dak Prescott's having a great game and Tony Romo is gushing about Dak and not gushing about Ben, and the Steeler fans are going to say, well, that's because he's a Cowboy homer. He's a Cowboy bandwagon fan, which is when they're good, they're there. And when they're not, they're bandwagon fans. That's where it'll be interesting with Tony Romo's. How far is he going to push the envelope? Because if you're the lead analyst, you're going to have to take some shots. That's a fact. You're going to have to deal with the tough conversation of Roethlisberger looks old. Looks like he should be moving on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website. Pro, college, high school, college, pro. Makes no difference to me. I want to thank our sponsors that are with us day in and day out. Without your support, we could not be doing this. We've been doing it for 5 years. We appreciate your support and can always, always have other partners that want to jump on board. We appreciate our partnership with AZ Central. And tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, five airings, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. Chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. Great job today. Eric Sorensen, as always, directing the ship. We'll see you tomorrow.